Are we still in the pandemic? I'm taping this while we still are. Somehow, I bet we still are doing this thing. How do you know you're in the middle of a pandemic? It's when going through the Starbucks drive-thru becomes your social highlight for the day. Yep, I admit, the lines are long. If you run a Starbucks, you are making plenty of money. And then what are we all eating during the pandemic? Now, I don't know about you, but my idea of a great time is not cooking long meals just for one person. It was way more fun when I had a family, or at least Sam did. So let me show you my favorite go-to. Gluten-free peanut butter along with sugar-free grape jelly. Put on top of a spoon that you put together. This is pandemic protein. And then you put it inside here. And then, oh, delicious. Really delicious. Really delicious. Okay, so with this, I'd like to welcome you to part two of our podcast called Welcome to Generation Z. We did part one couple weeks ago. Again, Vance and I think that by this point, you've heard all the teachings and podcasts you probably want to hear on navigating the pandemic. This is Navigating the Pandemic, because we're going to be through this pretty soon. And you can even listen to what I'm talking about as you navigate ministry with some pretty interesting insights on how their personality would react in the middle, I got peanut butter, to all of this stuff. So gosh, welcome to my world again. Thanks for showing up. You are awesome. Cadre, I love you. Over and out to everybody. Welcome to Generation Z, part two. Hi, it's Jeannie, and man, we're so glad to have you back. Welcome to our 100X Leadership Podcast. And we're doing part two in something that I want you to be deeply interested in. Welcome to Generation Z. Okay, quick primer. Generation Z, tell me, Vance, again. These are people that lived during what era?
Yeah, roughly born between 1996 and 2012.
Okay, so it is lots of people that we relate to.
Yeah.
And we did earlier a podcast talking about some of the distinguishing characteristics of Generation Z. And today, let us just briefly unpack from the data. We're not just making this stuff up. What are some of the things as leaders we most need to put into our gut to have any impact on these people? So I'm going to call it headlines and consequences. First headline is this. Generation Z has been, and this will surprise a bunch of you, at least it did me, when I saw it as being one of the big ones, underraised by very unprotective and often what sociologists call loose parents. So the consequence is that Generation Z works in our advantage as Christian leaders because they haven't had parents that were leaning in real hard, are super hungry to be mentored, to be led, to be parented by people that are willing to earn the right. That's why recently I talked about the wound that's really tough to heal, and that being the fatherless or motherless generation. Okay, it's fun. Think about it. Why do you suppose Vance so underparented? Why?
Man, I think it's probably a combination of things. I think technology.
Yeah, I agree.
Coming about to where there's been more opportunity for kids to just kind of do their own thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether that's iPads, computers, spending a lot of time on those things as opposed to interpersonal like interactions, even with parents.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, life is only getting busier, I think, as technology is happening, even for parents.
I agree.
And so busy parents, as we're coming out of a lot of tradition, I think parenting is changing.
I agree.
And I so agree. I think that the parents of this particular generation were kind of making that transition out of the traditional.
I agree.
I'm losing the word, but the normal family, you know, the traditional family.
I agree.
And I think parenting has shifted as well.
You see, people talk all the time about not being a helicopter parent. Mm. And so there's almost a prize if a parent puts the accent point on individualism. And so the consequences you deal with them is they are hungry for people that'll pay the price tags to be a meaningful voice in their life a little older. Headline number two, Generation Z, and this is so true, has been cheated out of most of the experiences of what I call a true childhood. Mm. And they've been forced to grow older, younger. Mm. Thus, childhood stuff, fun, really appeals to them.
Yeah.
And gosh, so true. And I got to tell you, on that basis, I'm probably Generation Z again. Because I'm still attracted to fun. But as Christian leaders, all more and more, we've got to realize that if we're going to be effective, fun cannot be just an add-on, but our approach to life, we're going to be much more powerful and listened to as a leader if we smile a little bit more, laugh a little bit more. I say all the time to myself, fun is an attitude, not an activity.
That's good.
And then headline number three, when I'm working with Generation Z, the soundtrack of Generation Z's entire life is the media. And they are constantly surrounded by it. We all know that. We all know that. But again, the headline and consequence go together. But this is demoralizing. Generation Z has approximately an 8-second attention span. Now, let's all cry right now.
Man.
And in the research, it says that a goldfish, a little guppy, has a 9-second attention span. Now, of course, Vance, the question begs itself, how do they even know, you know, when little goldfish goober has lost attention?
Right,
but
exactly.
I guess they're tracking the goldfish. I don't even know. The point is, as we deal with Generation Z, we're going to have to realize that snackable bites of information and creative communication and telling more stories than we thought we had to tell before. And doing something visual and being fun or involving somebody from the audience.
Yeah.
Gosh. Hey, you're a communicator. You run here at our church, the Young Adult Ministry. Do you feel, even with the young adults, that sense of, gosh, attention spans are shorter?
Definitely.
Do you?
Definitely.
Even with young adults?
Absolutely. I think we're at a place where, when it comes to communicating, nobody feels like they owe anybody anything. So I think as the generation gets younger and younger, they feel less and less like they owe you their attention. And so I think I definitely feel it.
Yeah.
That connecting has to be really intentional.
I agree.
You know, you can't just get up there and expect people to care about what you're saying because, as the age decreases, that care level of what you're talking about, they don't just give you
that. Their attention.
Yeah.
Headline number four is the one that probably causes me to toss and turn in my bed more than the others, although they all are a big deal. Generation Z is defined as the first generation to be deeply, and until I did the research, I'd never heard this term, pornified by the age of 8. And the researchers say pornography, obviously, is the wallpaper of their life. So the consequence for all of us as leaders, and I'm going to read this, is because porn is so deeply addictive, and we all know that, but when you read stuff like an image of porn is equal to the sort of kickback that if I did cocaine once, and the neural pathways don't start to heal unless there's 3 months of complete abstinence, that's terrifying, I think. And so again, consequence with the people that we're working with, because it's deeply addictive, a disturbingly distorted view of sexuality now is among the people we work with. and a diminishing view, Barna says, of anything that those of us that lived before would call fidelity or purity or faithfulness. And perhaps most concerning, and again, I'm quoting from the research, we've got to realize when we're talking to them that pornography deeply desensitizes their soul.
Yeah.
Isn't that a loud phrase?
Mm-hmm.
And so, gosh, to say, gosh, I remember, Vance, when we started the Cadre 15 years ago, my mentoring resource for young adult and youth pastors, up close and personal, we have a night we call It's Okay Not to Be Okay. And I can remember small groups breaking off, and the big thing I would hear was, I struggle with porn.
Mm.
Now, even among leaders, for most of them, porn is the afterthought. It's like everybody struggles with porn.
Yeah.
And now stats tell us that, gosh, well over 50% of all women that in the emerging Generation Z generation struggle with porn as well.
I would say most of them are not struggling with porn.
What would you say?
I would say it's become a part of the lifestyle of our culture.
I agree.
Not like a struggle. It's, like you said, an afterthought.
Gosh, that's deafening.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it really does. That key line, it tends to desensitize people's souls.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's really true. All sin does that. But porn, again, and let me go back to what I said a little earlier. Neuroscientists say, if indeed you've opened up your visual to porn, it is so powerful that it takes a full 3 months for those neural pathways to heal back over again.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a big deal.
Yeah.
What a big deal. And then, so let me just do two more of what I'd call the headlines that I've got to know all the time I'm dealing with Generation Z. And these roll through my head, whether I'm talking to somebody individually, or I'm working with Atlanta Leadership College, or the Cadre, or I'm in the youth group, it doesn't matter, or even the adults. The giant headlines with Generation Z is, number one, Generation Z, and I know we said it before, is lost spiritually.
Mm.
They have no memory of the gospel.
Mm.
That's why we call them the nuns. Talk about that a little bit, because that's so different.
Yeah.
No memory of the gospel.
Yeah. I think that a lot of us, and I'm not all that far off from this generation. I was born in 88. And so I'm not way far
You're
off.
You're an old man.
Right.
Go ahead.
But a lot of us have grown up with some type of understanding. One of the things we talked about on the last episode was how cultural Christianity has been a huge reality in America, where everybody at one point, it seemed like everybody kind of knew what the gospel was.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of affiliated themselves with Christianity, whereas now it's not on the priority list for a lot of young people. A lot of them are not familiar with, like, they have ideas because of just things that they've heard, but most of them don't know what the gospel actually is.
Right.
Or what Christianity is actually about, because I think in the mainstream media's eyes, all that's pushed about Christianity is what Christians are against.
Right.
Boy, and who they're against.
Absolutely.
Not the gospel or what the good news is.
No. And what I learned the other day, even in my own leadership training, I was quoting a scripture that I thought, gosh, anybody would know, or at least a lot of them would know. And I had a large leadership room. And when I got to the fill in the blank on the scripture, I won't even tell you what it was, because you may not know it either. Chirp, chirp, chirp. No one knew.
Yeah.
And so again, the awareness that there are reasons why we call Generation Z the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Because again, they just don't know any of it. And as we communicate, we have to be aware of that without being condescending. And then the last overarching headline that we referenced before, but man, I want to anchor you in this. Generation Z is leaderless. And I'll read this. Little, if any, discussion is coming from their families, and even less wisdom is coming from the internet. Thus, as we said on our last episode, the people that we're working with now have endless information, but very little wisdom. And that means that if we're willing to work with them on a relationally based bias, gosh, it puts us so much in. Yeah. I quote all the time the St. Augustine quote about man is restless until his heart rests in the Lord, that there's a God gap until we find God, which is true.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to also say there is also a community gap.
Oh, yeah.
A person gap.
Yeah.
And without the relational component,
yeah,
everything we're trying to do for Generation Z is going to be a whole lot more muted.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah.
So, okay, you're a leader. We're signing off. You're a leader. You're looking at everybody saying, good luck, folks, with these people. And obviously, I've been through lots of generations, and please hear me. If you heard even us echo that last point again, it's the big one. Just care about people as people. But in summation, working with this generation, any closing thoughts you have?
Yeah, I think that it all comes down to really what you just said, caring about people. I think that that is a huge factor as to why the generation that's coming up has disconnected from the church.
I agree.
Because they haven't felt heard, cared about, considered. And so I think that as we are wanting to connect, I think that, you know, it goes back to psychology says that the most popular people, the most liked people are the people who like the most people.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's just human nature that as we can express care for people, that's what's going to draw people. I don't think it's so much about being the most creative, about being the most cutting edge. And I think that's where a lot of our minds go when it comes to connecting with a younger generation. It's we have to be more creative, more cutting edge. Whereas, I mean, if you get in that game, you're going to lose because somebody's going to be more cutting edge than you 8 seconds later. And so, but I think caring about people is really the distinguishing factor. That's what is not happening in most of society. This generation is leaderless. They don't have mentorship, and we're hungry for it. So I think that that's the ultimate takeaway.
So, wow. We don't want to wrap this thing up being depressing. Quite honestly, some of the very voids in Generation Z's life give me, in kind of a crazy way, my most hope, you know, because look, to keep up with every trend, to know every video game, every news soundbite, that's impossible. But let us remind you that the generation coming up, if you want to work effectively with them, and that's why I'm such a big proponent for small group ministry, you're not going to be able to reach all of them. None of us have enough time. But you can put your focus on 100x, pouring into a few, the 30, 60, that then can multiply 100 times over for you. Because it's not going to make you 100x just by all you do, but who you are. Thanks for giving us a chance to speak into your life as a leader. Go be Jesus with skin on to somebody in your life today.